And time to talk money and personal finance with Planner Liz Coe. And today we're discussing what comes naturally for some, but is very difficult for many of us, how to draw up and stick to a household budget. Keen to hear your questions for Liz, you can email 9toNoon@rnz.co.nz. You can text us 2101. Liz, good morning. Nice to meet you.
Good morning.
Before we crack on with budgeting, we thought we'd just recap on what you were talking about with Catherine a couple of weeks ago on the difference between gifting and loaning money to adult children to help them get into a house and the potential impact this could have on eligibility for residential care subsidies.
Right. So, yes, there is an impact of gifting on rest home subsidies because there are some asset testing rules around eligibility for a rest home subsidy. And this is to prevent the issue of people, you know, just giving away all their assets and then saying, well, OK, now I own nothing, I'm eligible for a subsidy. So there is a limit, you know, like within 5 years of going into a rest home, you can gift $6,500 a year. Prior to that, it's $27,000 a year per couple. So if you're in your 50s and you're looking at gifting money to your children, we were talking about in the context of perhaps helping them buy a house, that kind of thing, I just want to put some context around that, because if you're in your 50s, reality is you're not going to go into a rest home probably until you're about in your 80s. And on average, most people spend about 18 months or so in a rest home before they pass away. That's an average statistic. You know, because you're really on your last legs before you go into a rest home. You have to be pretty sick before they'll let you in even. So, and there is also a cap on how much you have to pay towards your own care. It's roughly about $1,200 a week, depending on where you live. So although people get very worried about, you know, rest home subsidies, you need to put it in that context. So I think the thing is, if you're looking at gifting money to your children, you say, okay, 30 years from now, how likely is it I'm going to go into rest home? And how likely is it that the current rules will still apply in 30 years' time? And probably the answer to that is no. And then, you know, if you're in a situation now where you can gift money to your children, is it likely you're going to be eligible anyway for a subsidy, even if the current rules were still in place at that time? Because, you know, you can only hold, I think it's currently about $132,000 over and above your house if you're going to go into home before, you know, the asset testing kicks in. So I really think putting that perspective on it, it's not such a big issue. But obviously you should, you know, go and ask somebody at WINS if it's something that you're worried about and get some up-to-date information from them or from your solicitor.
Thank you, Liz, for that clarification. Gosh, it's complicated. Right. Let's have a look at a budget. Hopefully less complicated, or maybe not. I mean, how do you approach creating a budget?
Well, it's really easy. And I think where people go wrong a lot of the time is that they focus on the wrong thing. Because for me, budgeting is all about managing your income, not about managing your expenses. And I know that sounds a bit strange, but really that's what it's all about. It's about directing where you want your income to go. And really, you know, there is no such thing as saving.
And, really?
And yeah, people find that an interesting comment.
Oh, no. Well, that explains a few things for me. But
because saving is actually just spending later. So if you can get your head around that concept that you'd have got a certain amount of income coming to you every week or every fortnight or every month, whatever, and really the choice you have to make is when are you going to spend that money? And because, you know, it all has to be spent at some point. You know, you can't take money with you when you die. So either you spend it at some point in your lifetime, or guess what? Your children are going to spend it. So with the income that comes to you, you've got to say, well, okay, how much of that income am I going to spend now? How much am I going to spend a little bit later, perhaps in a, you know, a few months' time or a year or so? And how much am I going to spend a lot later, which might be in a few years' time or maybe even in retirement? So once you make that decision about your income, then budgeting becomes really easy. So it's about controlling that flow of income. And you do have control over it. You do have choices in that regard.
Liz, I'd have to say, though, that there'll be an awful lot of people listening to this whose money, you know, they don't have money to put aside for the future and they don't have money for saving. But I imagine that budgeting is equally, if not more important for those for income comes in and it all goes out.
That's right. So for some people, their major goal might be just staying out of debt.
Yeah.
Because once you get into that, you know, short-term debt with high interest rates, you know, credit card interest rates are something like 20% or so. Once you get into that situation, then you're on a downward spiral. So for some people, that might be the most achievable goal, is just staying out of that short-term debt. For others, it might be, you know, hopefully being able to put a little aside for a rainy day. And, you know, I think potentially we all have potential to save something, you know, to put something aside for later. It's just a matter of, you know, how you organise your income flow and analysing, you know, where your money is going.
I guess one of the hard things is, and best laid plans, that you may have a medical emergency or, you know, this unexpected. So you have your budget and you've been sticking to it really well, but something unexpected happens, maybe something medical, and suddenly you're in trouble and you have to make some big calls. I guess that's part of what you're talking about too.
Yes, but I think there is some discretion in your budget. So if you look at where your money goes, you know, as I say, you need to try and set aside a little bit of saving for emergencies, because we all have emergencies, that's a given. Then with the money that you're living on now, it's about saying, well, okay, what are your financial commitments? You know, whether it's rent, mortgage, insurance payments, whatever. Put that money aside, because that money is already spent, it's already committed. Have a look at your discretionary money, which is, you know, lunches, gifts, entertainment, that kind of thing. Put a limit on how much you spend on that. I know that's the fun stuff, but it can easily get away on you if you're not careful. So you need to track that really carefully. In the middle, we've got, you know, essential spending, which you have some control over. And after your rent or mortgage, the biggest expense you have is food. And that's where a lot of people go wrong, is on their food budget.
In what way?
Well, you can go to the supermarket and you can put into your trolley $200, $300, $400, $500 worth of groceries. There's a huge amount of discretion that you have in that area. So if you're wanting to find ways to save, number one, look at your discretionary spending, you know, the little and often, you know, unessential items. Number two, look at your food budget, because if you're really careful, you can free up, you know, maybe $50 a week just by shopping carefully.
So is that like comparison shopping, or buying less, or buying brands?
Just
takes a lot of time.
Well, it can do, yes, but it's just about practicing that habit of buying what you need as opposed to what you'd like to have, and you're being careful with how you use food.
And maybe reducing waste. I was just going to say, really conscious of.
That's
myself,
right.
Actually.
We throw such a lot of money out, don't we, in the garbage?
So, I mean, I think you said that the biggest problem with a budget is about changing behaviour. So what kind of mindset, or what are the first steps you can take, Liz, if you're going, actually, I need to sit down and actually really think about this? Is it pen and paper or on your computer? Do you need to do those sort of stats?
Well, the way I do a budget is I do it by setting up bank accounts, so that budgeting becomes automatic. So as I say, if you channel your money into the money you're going to spend now, a bit later and a lot later. So that's one way. So with your income coming in, you sort of carve off some saving first before you spend. Then with the money you're living on now, have an account that covers all your commitments, because that money needs to be set aside. Have a separate bank account for your luxury spending, your non-essential spending, and a different account for your household spending, which is essential items that you can control. So if you have separate bank accounts in that way, it's a bit like grandma's jars on the mantelpiece, you know.
My mum and dad had that. They had little bottles that they would put the money in.
That's
and
right.
A suitcase. I have the suitcase, no money though. And that's how they would budget.
That's right, because if it all goes into one big bucket, you can't control it. You've got to divide it up into different bank accounts. And if you do that, you'll find it much easier to control your spending. So that's what I mean about channeling your income. If you do that, then you don't need to worry about in detail managing your expenses.
Got 1 minute that I know you can do it, from a listener asking if you know of any good budgeting or cash tracker app or website. This one's tried one called Booster, but it didn't work for them.
Oh, right. There is one called Pocketsmith, which a lot of people use. I think it's a New Zealand developed one, actually. So have a look at Pocketsmith, or you can use Xero. There is a personal finance version of that. I know a lot of businesses use Xero, but I believe that can be used for personal budgets as well. But really, you don't. If you use my system of actually divvying off your income, you don't need to worry so much about tracking every expense.
Thank you very much for your advice. I really appreciate it. Liz Coe is a financial planner specialising in retirement planning. And Liz will be back with us in a couple of weeks looking at another topic related to finance.